If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to start at verse 1. I'm going to jump around a little bit here. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel?" So Saul is king of Israel. Saul is not where he needs to be. And the Lord is speaking to Samuel the prophet, saying, "How long are you going to mourn for Saul?" He said, "I've already rejected him from reigning over Israel." And the Lord tells him, "Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided a king among his sons." Now, to give you a little backstory here, you understand that Samuel was put in place by the people. The people wanted a king. So they put him in place. We see here that he is not doing, Saul. And he is not reigning the way he should be reigning. And we see here that the Lord is saying, "Okay, I'm done. So I've got someone I want to anoint as king." See, it matters to be anointed by the Lord.
Amen. Truth.
It matters. Anybody can hold a position. Anybody can be king, but when you're anointed to be king, things are different.
Yes.
We jump to verse 6, and it says, "And it came to pass that when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him." So the Lord's saying, it doesn't matter that he's tall. It doesn't matter what he looks like. Don't jump the gun just because you think he might look like a king. It doesn't mean I've called him to be a king. "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth." Look at your neighbor and say, amen.
Amen.
God does not see the way that we see, and we don't see the way God sees. "For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart."
Amen.
"Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel." These are his sons that Jesse is calling for. "And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this one. And again, Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, Well, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy." He was a little fella. "With all of beauty and countenance and goodly to look to. And God said, Arise." Now the one that Samuel probably would not have chosen himself, but the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one. This is he, Samuel. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." Something shifted in David that day. And then I want to go to 1 Samuel 17, go to the next chapter. I know you all been standing a minute, but we'll get through this quickly. Verse 13, starting at 13, it says, "And the three oldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of these three sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn. The next was Abinadab, and then the third, Shammah. And then David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So understand, he's already been anointed by the prophet, by the man of God, to be the king. But he goes back to take care of his father's sheep. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now thy brother the ephah of his parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp of thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand. And look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. And now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and he left the sheep with a keeper, and he took and went, and as Jesse had commanded him to do, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper and the carriage, and he ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked to them, behold, there came up a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. All the men were scared to death of Goliath. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up and surely to defy Israel? And he is come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spoke to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach for Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I love, there's a little bit of attitude in David's voice there. Amen. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who does he think he is? As all the men are hiding in the caves and rocks, here's little David saying, who does this guy think he is? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He got mad with this little brother. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? And then he says this to David. Catch this. His older brother looks at him and says, I know thy pride. Where's the pride? I know thy pride. He's accusing his brother. I know thy pride. And I know that naughtiness of thine heart. He calls out David's heart. I know thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. He's just saying, you're just here to be nosy is what you are, little brother. Anybody got a little brother? Now, I was the little brother.
Come on. I'm with you there.
But I never caused issues. Come on. All the babies of the family were the angels of the family. Come on, hallelujah. All the babies, can I get an amen from you?
Yeah.
All the rest of you, just shh.
Bless him, Lord.
Just keep those thoughts. And David said, catch this. This is how David felt. David said, what have I now done? Basically, brother, what did I do now? What have I done to you? You see, because the older siblings, you feel like I'm always having to get on to them. But the younger ones are always feeling, you're always getting on to me for the every little thing that I can. I do anything right by you? And this is where David's at. David says, what have I done now? What? I came here and spoke truth? Sorry if I offended you, brother. That I'm being a little more manly than you are right now. I'm not hiding behind a rock. I'm calling out the Philistine. What's your problem? And then he makes this statement. He said, is there not a cause? Amen. David looks at his brother and says, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason to fight? Is there not a cause to stand up for the living God? Is there not a cause to stand up for the people? Is there not a cause that is driving this army out to fight this man? Where's the cause? Is there not a cause? So for a few moments, I want to speak in the vein of unity in the church. And I want to speak this, united for a cause. Yes. United for a cause. I want you to do this where it's appropriate. We don't typically do this. Put your Bibles down. And I want you, man to man, woman to woman, husband to wife, but I want you just to gather up with somebody next to you right now. And I want you to pray that this word impacts them today and that you are closer to them at the end of this service than you were when you walked in. Won't you pray right now? Jesus, pray. Come on, pray for your, come on, pray for that person next to you right now. Jesus. God, I pray, God, that we hear your word today, God. God, I pray, God, that we lay down, Lord, anything in this place that's not of you. God, I pray, God, that we will be a mighty army, God, when we walk out of this place, Jesus. God, I pray it right now, Lord God. If you would, Jesus, move in this place, God. Touch everyone in this room, Lord. God, I pray, God, draw us closer together to you, Lord. God, I pray, God, as you draw us closer together, you draw us closer unto you, Jesus. God, for we cannot be in unity with you if we're not in unity with each other, Lord. Oh, God, in your mighty name, God, move in this place this morning. Have your way, Lord God, I pray. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There has to be unity. You can be seated. The only thing that the Israelite army was united on was their fear. But I will also tell you this. I don't see anywhere written that Saul was trying to encourage the army to follow him into the battle.
Nope. That's right. Hallelujah.
So the army will follow that which is leading them, no matter what direction that is.
Amen.
If you cast fear, I promise you, you will grow fear. But if you cast faith, you see, that's the thing. When people start casting faith and people don't want that, they want fear. The problem is you start to clash a little bit. That's why his brother looked at him and been like, why are you here? You're just trying to be prideful. Look at you trying to be big. Look at you trying to come make a statement. Who do you think you are? Starts calling out his heart. Your heart's not in the right place, David. Who do you think you are, David, coming down here? David was just trying to be the anointed leader that he had been anointed to be.
That's right.
Because he realized there's a cause. And if we don't react to the cause, then we're going to lose our identity forever.
Yeah.
We're not going to be who God has called us to be. We are his people. And we're not going to be that and fulfill the cause if you do not see the cause. So I say this morning as your pastor that for the past couple weeks, as your pastor, there are things that the Lord reveals unto me and shows me, and that and one of the greatest things that can come against the church is division. And you say, us? I feel like we're tight. Yeah, this is a great church and we are united. But here was the thing, you got to understand this. As David was trying to get them to see, he said, the fight hasn't even started yet. Are you going to let them intimidate you and cause issues? Or are we going to be the first ones to stand up and actually just take control of the situation because we have God on our side? And as your pastor, I can tell you that I've seen things and the Lord has revealed things unto me the last couple weeks. And I've received text messages and calls from individuals that are dealing with things and that they typically don't. And it's been quiet for a while. And it was one thing after another. And I realize as the pastor, as a watchman on the wall, I get to see what's coming before it ever gets to the church.
Amen.
And the Lord revealed it unto me. What is trying to come into the church is division. And it is my job, as David did that day, to show you that we have a cause. And that there is something trying to stand up and intimidate us. And trying to get into your head. And trying to convince you to let division come between you and those in the church. But I'm telling you right now, that if we will stay united for the cause. If you'll stay united for the cause and you'll have your mind fixed and your eyes fixed on what God has us, there is nothing that will come against us.
Amen.
We have to stay united. Matthew 12, 25 and 26, it says, "But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand?" So we clearly see the progress from a kingdom divided to a city divided to a house divided to the individual divided. Now I want to share something with this church that I shared years ago when we first got here that I felt to share again. I want us to hear this progress that I just read, the kingdom, the city, the house, the individual. I want to read it to you in reverse. Jesus is saying in this scripture, in order for us to have power in his kingdom, in order for us to have power in this city, in order for us to have powers in our homes, it starts with the individual.
Yeah.
If he is divided against himself, how then will his kingdom stand? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. As long as there's division in the body, as long as we're divided against ourselves, that we have no power in our homes, we'll have no power in our city, and we'll have no power in his kingdom. This is why Satan loves to cause division in the church, because he knows it cripples the church of its power. And it robs it of its purpose. It blinds it to its cause. That's why I'm here to tell you this morning, in this final hour that we are living in, there is no room for the spirit of division in the church. There is no room for the spirit of division in your home. There's no room for the spirit of division of this world in your marriage, between you and your kids. There is no spirit, there's no room for the spirit of gossip. There's no room for the spirit of offense. Because when the body of Christ becomes divided, we start tearing each other down. One of the greatest things that someone could do if you're going to battle an army is if you could get the army to turn against itself, you don't even have to fight. So when we get offended by our fellow church members or our pastor, or the church loses its power when that takes place, the church loses its focus. But show me a church that knows how to worship together, and we do. Show me a church that knows how to praise together. Show me a church that knows how to sing together. A church that prays together. Individuals that pick each other up when they fall down. And I'll show you a church that has power in its homes. I'll show you a church that has power in its city. And I'll show you a church that has power in the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, I'm thankful to be a part of a church that says, I want power. I want power in my home. I want power in my church. I want power in my family. I want power in my marriage. If you're thankful for that and you want that, stand to your feet, put your hands together and say, God, I want power. I refuse to be divided. I refuse to live powerless, but I'm going to be an individual that says, I want power. I want power. John 17, 9 through 11 says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are mine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through mine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one. As we are. What's this scripture saying? It's saying that God desires for his church to be united and not divided.
Amen.
That they may be
one.
As we are.
One.
That's why as a church and as individuals, we desire that when the world sees us, that they don't see us, but they see him. You see, it is impossible as a church to be one with him if you can't be one with one another. It's truth. In your marriage, think about this. You say, well, I want God in the middle of our marriage. Okay. Are you one with one another? Are you working to put him in the middle by being one with one another? Are you trying to have a strong unity in that marriage? Because until it is working together, marriage is not 50-50. True. Marriage is 100-100.
Yeah.
And when you're giving your all and he's giving his all, or you're giving your all and she's giving their all, and you're working together, guess what takes place? When you're trying to bring unity in, you automatically bring God into the situation.
Amen.
And then you become one together and you become one with him. And that's where the blessings rest.
Yeah.
That's where peace comes into the home. That's where his hand rests upon you. Same thing with the church. We have to be one with one another. We have to be there for each other, love each other. We have to do this in order to be one with him. But we must understand that God doesn't manifest himself in that division. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. If there is confusion, God is not in it.
Amen.
A united body brings power, but a divided body brings weakness. When we allow division to arise, we are putting God on display for the world to see. When we are putting Satan's works on display in our lives for all to see, then we are not fulfilling the cause. When you come into church, I'm just going to go here. I'm just throwing this out there. I'm not saying that anyone said this. No one said this has happened. I'm just throwing this out there, that because there's a reason the Lord laid this on my heart.
Yes.
See, there's a spirit right now that is in control of this world. And there's a couple. There's division. And there's offense.
Yeah.
Everybody's offended. Everybody is offended anymore.
Yeah.
It does not matter. Everybody's offended. So I'm just saying, if you come to church, and you know that great lady didn't shake your hand, or someone didn't say hi to you, or you say, well, I stood there for 20 minutes and pastor never came over and prayed for me in the altar. And then we come to church all bent out of shape because we let it get in our head. We let that spirit creep in. And we plant our offended spirits in a chair for the whole service. With our arms folded. And we refuse to worship because somebody else just really made me mad. You say, but God will understand. Lord, because they didn't wave. I passed them on the road, and I waved, and they just kept looking straight. I know they were ignoring me, God. I know they had to have seen me. But they were driving down 50, heading west at sunset. And if you know, you can't see anything. But God, I know they saw me. They had to have seen me. They were ignoring me. I'm offended. I'm so offended. The pastor, he didn't shake my hand today. I mean, Lord, we're a church of one. I'm the only person here. And he didn't give me any attention. If you haven't noticed, we're growing. It was a little easier to get to everybody when I first got here. But we're growing, thank God.
Yeah.
These are called growing pains. Don't think, well, I'm not as important as I used to be. I'm being serious right now. If the devil's telling you that, I'm not as important as I used to be to pastor, I want you to throw that out the window right now.
Amen.
That is a lie from hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do not let that get in your mind, because I'm telling you right now that you are. Everyone in this room, you are. Whether you've been here with me for 7.5 years or whether you've been here this your first day, I want you to understand you're important to me. But what happens is this, is when we allow that spirit of offense to get into our mind and we sit in that chair, by sitting in that chair, what you're doing, you're actually robbing God of what is rightfully his. And you need a shift in your vision. Yes, I know that she didn't shake your hand or she was just distracted or, you know, but understand this, that just because she didn't shake your hand doesn't mean that she's not interceding for you and your family in her prayer closet tomorrow morning. I know that maybe he didn't say hi to you today, but he's the first one to offer you help when you're going through a hard season. Amen. I know I didn't get to you in the altar. If I don't today, just don't take offense to it, I promise. Because I promise you that I'm fighting all of hell to get you and your family into heaven. I will preach the truth as much as I can. I will do everything that I can. Do not let the enemy tell you that I don't care for you. Don't let it get in your mind. I'm telling you right now, there's a cause that's bigger than us. We got to stay focused. I love you, and I preach you. I preach the truth to you. We got to make heaven.
Amen.
There is more in this church to unite us than there is to divide us.
Amen.
There's power in oneness.
Amen.
Psalms 133:1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." In apostolic circles, we place a lot of emphasis on numbers, or the number of times subjects are mentioned in the Bible. And I just want to show you this real quick, that miracles appear 42 times. Holiness, 43 times. Doctrine, 41 times. Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, 96 times. Worship, 108. Repent, 112. Baptism, 115. House of the Lord, 234. Praise, 248. Love, 310. Pray, 313. Together, 538. Because if you can't get that one together, the rest of them don't really matter.
Yeah,
that's right.
So it is amazing when you think of it, how much power is gained through unity and agreement with each other.
Yeah.
That we must understand that we are better together, we are stronger together, that we can move mountains together. The Bible tells us that one can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight.
Yeah.
There's something powerful about unity. There's something powerful that takes place when this church comes together and we pray together. There's something powerful. Think about this in your home, going back to marriage again. Think about this, that if you would just simply, if you're dealing with things, how much more powerful it would be if the two of you would come together and pray. But what would happen if you got children, that you would actually bring the children into the equation? What would take place? Because their prayers matter too.
Yes. Amen.
As a family, you could just shake hell. Just as a family.
Yes.
Amen. Something begins to take place in the spiritual realm when two individuals bind together in worship, in praise, in sacrifice, and in prayer. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them." You look at Paul and Silas sitting in prison. You talk about somebody that wanted to get offended. Somebody that could be upset. They could be upset with God. They'd be like, "We've given our life to you. And you let us get in here? Really? We're doing your work and you let us come in here? Where are you?" But no, you don't find that. It says in Acts 16:25-26, it says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken." So there's key words to catch here. Paul and Silas were praying and singing together. And then the other prisoners were listening to them. It wasn't one over here whining and complaining and the other one was doing all the singing. No, they said, "Hey, if we come together and do this, God is bound to do something." And whenever God's people combine their talents and strength together, God begins shaking those prisons that Satan has tried to entrap the church with. And that is why you and I must understand that we are better together when we are together. Listen, that no matter how well you can do it yourself, you would do it better with somebody else in agreement with you.
Amen. Yeah.
I promise you.
Yeah.
We could have one person up here, get up here and sing a song, and they would do a good job. But you put three-part harmony together. There's just something powerful about it. It just kind of changes everything. So you could do something good by yourself, but I promise you, come into agreement with somebody else and you'll do it better than you would have. There is power when the church becomes one, because unity is where God dwells. In closing, I want to take us back to 1 Samuel 17, 23 through 29. It says, "And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him, and they were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done for the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his older brother, heard when he spake it unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? He said, I know thy pride, little brother. I know why you're here. You want to know where these words came from? Offense. Not from love. These words came from offense. Why? Because Eliab was looked over. Eliab thought, I'm the tallest. I'm the most handsome. I stand feet over you, David. And the anointing oil was not poured on me, but it was poured on you instead. I was going to say this just real quick. I don't know why I just feel to say this. You see, within the church, there's a lot of things you can do and serve in so many different ways. Don't ever get offended if someone else gets chosen.
Yeah.
To do something that you thought you could do. You see, because even Samuel, the prophet, didn't fully understand.
Amen.
He thought, but God, look at this guy. Look how tall he is. I mean, he's strapping. I mean, he looks like a king. He'd be the perfect king. God said, no, I refuse him. Okay. Well, let's go to the next. I don't read that the others were really getting on to David as much as Eliab. He was saying, why did you come down here? Haven't you embarrassed us enough, David? What are you doing down here now? Why are you here, David? Pride in your heart, you're going to come down and let everybody know you've been anointed king. Is that why you're here, David? I could just hear that just smirk in his voice. Just why you're here, little brother? Who you think you are. But what he didn't fully understand is what David got a concept that I'm not sure everybody else got. You see, David was there for this one reason. Maybe not that he wanted to be there. But he was there because he was submitted to his father.
Amen. So good.
His father said, leave the sheep, load up the cart, and take it to your brothers. There's a war going on. Make sure they're taken care of. Go make sure they look good. Make sure they're okay. Come back and let me know. That's the only reason that he was there. So be careful sometimes that you don't assume for yourself while somebody is doing something or serving somewhere. Don't think, well, it's got to be because pastor likes them more. Folks, I don't know why I don't know why I'm preaching this today. Guess I'm gonna tie something in for, I promise, at the end here. But just listen, I'm talking about the spirits that the world is dealing with right now. That we can't let get into our church. You can't let it get into your home. You can't let it get into your marriage, because what happens is we just start assuming things. You could look at your spouse and the enemy could tell you, oh, they're mad at you, or you did this or that or that. And you just assume and you put that judgment on them when it's not true at all. David was simply there because he was submitted to his authority. He was submitted to his authority. And we see that he just begins to say, it's pride, it's the naughtiness of your heart that thou art come down here, that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? And then he makes this statement. Is there not a cause, brother? Men of Israel, is there not a cause to get you up and get you going? Is there not a cause? You see, here's what I want to point out. And I know you've probably heard this taught in Sunday school. You've heard this message preached so many times, David and Goliath. A lot of people know the story, but the one thing I want to point out is that David, even though his brother was coming at him with accusations, even though his brother was offended by him, David kept his spirit right with his brother.
Amen.
So it doesn't matter what somebody says to you. It does not mean you have to respond in the same way. But David kept his spirit right with his brother. And even when they falsely accused him of being prideful, even when they weren't treating him right, even when they attempted to sever the unity, they tried to discourage David. They tried to say his heart wasn't right. The man after God's own heart. They accused him that his heart wasn't right. And after all of that, because he kept his spirit right. Hear me this morning. Hear me. Because he kept his spirit right with his brothers, it allowed the opportunity for the giant to be slain. And after the giant fell, the people of Israel were released from fear. They were released from the bondage. They were released from the hiding behind rocks. They were released from all of that was put up on them. David's vision went beyond, hear this, went beyond his feelings. And it went beyond his offenses from his brothers, because he was focused on the cause. It was the cause. It had nothing to do with fear. He said, I don't got time to be offended. I don't have time to hear what you have to say, brother. There's a cause. If I don't act now, if I don't do something now, our people are going to be destroyed. We will become slaves to the enemy. I'm telling you, church, if you don't act now, if we don't kill that now and get that giant slain now, you will become a slave to the enemy.
Amen.
We don't have time for that, because there's a cause. You say, well, pastor, what's the cause? Well, we got to be united for. What's our cause? Let's go to John 18, 37, 38. I'm done. Musicians, you can come. Look, we see here, Pilate therefore said to him, are you the king then? He's talking to Jesus. Jesus answered and said, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone is who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? What's your cause, Jesus? What is the cause? Why did you come? And Jesus says this. Let's look here. Let's look at John 10 and 10. The thief does not come except but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly. Luke 19 and 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those that are lost. John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We have a cause. Our cause is his cause. It's people. It's lost. It's the city around us. It's this region. That's your cause. Do not get distracted. Do not look to the left or the right. Do not be offended. Because when you do, you'll lose sight of the cause. We gotta be united for the cause. We gotta be united for the souls. We gotta be united in this last hour for the cause. That's all saying. We will lose out on opportunity. And I promise, I'm going to tell you right now, that between now and when the trumpet sounds, there's going to be a lot of giants in front of us. There are going to be, it was said, I think it was last week, Brother Azzolini, which, what a message. If you were not here, go back and listen to that. I'll tell you what happened last week. Let me kind of give you a little bit of spiritual insight. I'll tell you what happened last week. As an evangelist, there's a reason I partner with him as an evangelist for our church. There's two types of evangelist. There is one that comes in and does plowing. If you were here last week, he was plowing. He was in the weeds going in some stuff. But what happens when a farmer begins to plow? Lena, this is what happens. When you begin to plow, whatever is hidden underneath is brought to the surface. So it was revealed to me that there were some things that were underneath the soil of this church that were trying to take root in some people. And the Lord said, he brought it to the surface. Now it has to be removed from the field. Because here's why. Now see, now in June, we're going to bring in Brother Hudson. Now what happens is, if when you get the field right, you can start planting seeds. Now the other type of evangelist comes in is called a harvester. And when your field is actually taken care of, and you plow it, and you get the stuff out of it, you can plant seeds and they begin to grow. And then there's some that comes in as a harvester, a man of faith, great faith in Brother Hudson. And I promise you that when the man of faith comes, that we're going to see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. You're going to see the Spirit of God. That promise is going to be pouring out in this church, and people are going to receive that gift. People are going to be baptized in the name of Jesus. We're going to see a harvest. But there are going to be seasons that's going to take place, that when the church, see, the enemy is not going to just sit back and cross his arms. The only time he ever does that is when you're divided. Because the army just fights itself. You don't need to do anything. You don't have to. But when the church is united for the cause, he's got a reason to try to stop the church. I'm telling you, this is a church that is going to be united for the cause. As David said to his brother, is there not a cause? Oh, yes, there is a cause. There is a reason to go out and fight. And that's why I love in that story that when Saul released him to go fight, and David told him, he said, listen, I don't need all your weapons made by man's hands. He said, I'm just going to go out and what I've trained with and what I have. And then he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Understand that David did not have, at that point, revelation of what the name of the Lord is. We understand what his name is this morning. His name is Jesus. But he said, but I come to you. I don't have sword and shield. I don't have all those things. But I come to you in the name of the Lord. Understand this church now, when we go to battle, we have the ability to speak the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And we look at those giants and say, we're united. We're not hiding. We're not fearful. We're not offended by each other. The only thing we're offended by is you.
Amen.
Giant. If we would get offended by the giant and start battling the giant, our life would improve. So this morning, I know it's a little different, but understand that in this place this morning, that there is a God. There is a God that is here. We were singing about him earlier. His name is Jesus. He is our Savior. He came into this world that we might have victory. He came into this world that we might be able to look at those things and those spirits and say, I don't have time for those things, because he's already revealed himself unto me. And I've got a cause. We got to focus on the cause. This morning, I share this with you, and then we're gonna pray together. Something that my dad taught me years ago, and some of you have probably already heard this. But my dad, if you knew him, man, could he mow a yard. His yard looked like a golf course. He would mow it twice every time. He would mow it this way, and he mowed it this way. And I asked him one day, I said, Dad, why? Why? He said, because if you mow it in one direction, the same direction every time, you'll lay the blades down, the grass blades down. He said, but if you mow it this way and then this way, he said, it'll actually make it grow straight and tall. Wow, never would have thought of that. I said, but how do you get those straight lines? Because I would try, and then I would get at the other end thinking I was so proud of myself. Look what I did. And I look around, it looked like a drunk man did it. I'm like, what happened? He said, come here, let me show you. I could take you to the place in Groveport at that house. On that sidewalk where he looked down, he said, you see that little fence post over there that's in the bush? I said, yeah. He said, I want you to put your eyes on that fence post. And I want you to walk straight to that fence post with the mower and see what happens. I said, okay. So I did. And I got to the other end. I turned around and looked, and it was a perfectly straight line. Now, my dad wasn't one that, he was kind of quiet. Wasn't the one to sit you down and say, let's have an hour conversation, go real deep. But he looked at me that day. He said, if you'll find something that is fixed in the ground and is not moving, and you'll fix your eyes on that and not look away, your lines will be straight. He spoke a message to me that day that I'm still preaching all these years later. That as a church, if we can get our eyes fixed on the cause, if we can look and say, oh, the souls of this world, they matter more to me than the offenses around me. They matter more to me than someone that didn't shake my hand or didn't say hi to me. They matter more to me, God. And if I can stay focused, you see, we become like him in that moment. Because he said, not my will, but thy will be done. His flesh said that cross is going to hurt. That whip's going to hurt. The nails are going to hurt. But not my will, but thy will be done, because his cause was souls.
Yeah.
He said, I didn't have time for fleshly matters. I didn't have time for emotion. I didn't have time for my feelings. I didn't have time to be offended. He said, you got to get past yourself, and you've got to get focused on the cause. And if you get focused on the cause, you'll stay on the right path, Life Point. If you get focused on the cause, individual, then I will anoint you and use you for for the kingdom. And what happens when we get united together, that's the only way we can be united with him. And when we get that and focus on the cause, I promise you that you think it's growing now, the church is going to grow like we've never seen it happen before. Our cause is not a new building. It's not land. It's not property. It's not what it is. But the cause is people. Your cause has to be his cause. And I'm crying out to somebody today, realign your vision with the cause. Because you've been wandering off here and there. But realign your vision with the cause. Because when we get united with the cause, that is when we will see revival. That is when. I want us this morning, it's a little different, I know, but we just did this yesterday. I don't know if we can even do it or not. Honestly, I'm just going to try, but our family, the Brooks family and Kidwell family, we were blessed to go away to a minister's family retreat for the last few days, and we were ministered to so greatly. But at the end of the session yesterday, the preacher said, I want you to do something for me. He said, I want you to create a circle around this whole room. And when we spread out and got out of our chairs and created this circle, it was amazing to me when I looked around. And you know what I thought? I'm not in this alone.
Yeah.
You're in it with me. You're in it with me. Pastor Jason Razor was standing next to me. He's been here and preached. One of my dearest friends, he leans over. He said, Barry, I just want you to know something. I said, what? He said, you're not in this alone. I'm right here with you. I said, I'm right here with you, man. We're in this together. You're not in this alone. You're not in this fight alone. You're not facing the world alone. You're not facing the enemy alone. But you're in this together. If you've been here all your life, Sister Brooks, 96 years, you're not in this alone. If this is your first day here at Life Point, I want you to know you're not in this alone. But this church is here for you because that's our cause. His people, because we understand there's a God that has a cause. We're not in this alone. So I wonder if we can right now, if we can even make this happen. If you could just step out of your seat, it's going to be a little different, but if you could just line up and if we can make a huge circle around this place. And I'm telling you, you're going to see how powerful this is when you look around this room. And we can spread out. Some of us might have to go to the back. You can spread out, make some room. Try to make the circle connect if we can. Nobody left out. Well, I think it's pretty powerful right here in the heart of us all, right here. Sister Brooks. You see how different it looks when we're spread out?
Yes.
You're not looking at the back of people's heads now, for one thing. But you can look at each other in this room. And you can look across, clear across the sanctuary, and you can look at somebody. Ladies, I want you to look over and just find another woman in this church right now. Just look at them. And I want you to tell them, I'm in this with you. Man, I want you to look across and find a guy in this room and just tell them, hey, I'm fighting with you. And to understand that you're not in this alone. But the one thing that brings us together is the cause. It's the cause. So I want you to do this right now. I want us to begin to, I just want you to stretch your hands out. Because no matter where you're at, where you're facing somebody. And I want you to begin to pray for the individuals in this room right now. And I want you to pray for unity in your home. I want you to pray for unity in this church. I want you to pray for unity if you're married in your marriage. I want you to begin to pray for unity right now. God, God, we want to fulfill the cause. God, we want to be united for the cause, Lord. God, I pray it right now, Jesus. God, for the cause, Lord. God, I pray for every man in this room. God, I pray for every man, Lord. God, that they would be a leader in their home. God, that they would stand, God, for truth. Stand up for what is right, God. God, I pray, God, that they would cover, Lord, their family in prayer. God, I pray, Lord, God, that they would, Lord, stand up against the enemy that tries to come against them, Lord. God, I pray it right now, Jesus. God, that they would be a leader, God. That they would be a man of God in their home, Lord. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, right now. God, I pray for every woman represented in this place right now, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. God, I pray, God, that you would, God, strengthen them. God, as they pray, Lord, over their home. God, as they set that atmosphere in their home through prayer, Lord, through fasting, God. I pray it right now, Jesus, in your mighty name, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. God, I pray it, Lord, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray, Lord God, for every married couple in this place. God, I pray, God, for every single adult, Lord. God, I pray for every teenager, Lord, every child, Lord. God, I pray, God, that we would stay focused on the cause. God, I pray, God, that we would, Lord, not have time, Lord God, for the things around us, Lord, the fences, Lord, the spirits, Lord. God, I pray right now, God, we get past those things. God, that we would focus, Lord, on what it is you have for us, Jesus. I pray it right now, Lord, at this place. God, that you would, Lord, every family, every home represented right now. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let it be done right now, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, pray for that person next to you right now. Begin to pray with them right now, Jesus. Come on, they need you. They need you right now. They need you right now. They need to be united with you right now. Oh, come on. Come on. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two, 10,000 to flight. Just think what this church is doing right now. Come on, just think what this church is pushing away right now. Come on, what we're removing from the soil right now. Oh, we're preparing for a harvest right now. We're preparing for a harvest this morning, this place. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Oh, God. Right now, right now, right now.